And they're currently in India, and they wanted to tell you that they thank you for your continued prayers and that they are praying for us while they're away. They miss us as we miss them, and they're looking forward to being back here next Sunday, as I'm sure you are as well. So continue praying for them, and we look forward to seeing them next week. If you have your Bible, please stand and turn to Luke chapter 24. This Resurrection Sunday, we'll be looking at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, specifically here in the Gospel of Luke. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still with you in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you, we praise you for the truth of your word. And we're grateful today that here at the corner of American Avenue in Palindale, we can gather and freshly focus and meditate upon your resurrection and the power of it. Be with us by your presence, by your spirit today, we pray. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Since the beginning of time, since before the beginning of time even, as Pastor Garth shared on Friday, God has had a plan for redemption, for his creation. When sin first entered the world through Adam and Eve, death and sin entered a creation that the Lord never intended for it to enter. Since then, it's been his desire to draw every man, woman, and child of his creation back into fellowship with him. As soon as sin and death enter the world, our two greatest enemies, as soon as they enter the world and infected creation, God's plan of redemption was put into place. Why would God have a plan of redemption for us? Peter wrote in 2 Peter and told us why. Because it is not the Lord's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not his will that any should die in their sin. And it's not his will that any should perish, but it is his will that they would spend eternal life with him. The Bible tells us that the sins of Adam and Eve and our sins separate us from the very relationship that we were created for. You and I were created to commune with the Creator. How much more awesome could that be? That's what he made us for. That's exactly what he made us for. That close fellowship and relationship that only a best friend could have. That's what he desires for us with him. And praise the Lord that he loves us so much that he provided a way in which that wall of separation between us and him that's created by our sin could be removed forever, and that intimate fellowship with him could be restored. One of the most famous passages in the Bible is in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. It goes like this. John speaking by the Spirit of, the Lord Jesus speaking. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That might sound kind of abstract to you because you talk about the whole world. We could very easily take some personal pronouns, put them in that verse, not change the meaning of it, but the power thereof will certainly increase in our lives. The verse could very well go like this. For God so loved you and me that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, that when you and I place our faith in him, we shall not perish, but we shall have everlasting life. This is God's plan of salvation for us. There's nothing that we can do to make it happen. There's nothing that we can do to earn our own salvation or to gain merit from God for us to give him, for him to give us that salvation. It was initiated by him since the beginning of time, and it's a free gift that he offers each and every one of us. Did you know that no matter how hard we try, we cannot destroy that wall of separation that stands between us and the Lord because of our sin? We cannot do it. Try as we might, through works or whatever else, we cannot do it on our own. Only the Lord can. Not only can the Lord remove that wall of separation, not only can he do it, not only does he have the power to do it, but he has the tremendous desire to do it. He has an incredible passion to remove that wall. That's why he sent his son to die on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And he would raise him up on the third day, overcoming death, that we would also experience newness of life when we place our faith in him. That we would experience this breath of fresh life that he experienced when he was raised from the tomb. He is risen. He is risen. The angels, the messengers, the heavenly messengers here in Luke chapter 24. Excuse me. Had to remind the women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and other women had prepared anointing spices to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. And they came to the tomb on that morning. And the angels there had to remind them, he's not here. He's not here. He rose again. He lives. He had to die. He had to be buried. And he had to rise again, so that forgiveness of sins and eternal life, eternal fellowship with our Creator, could be restored and would be granted to those that place their faith in him. My mind processes information in such a way that I really am blessed when the Lord makes clear distinctions in his word for me. Very clear distinctions. Perhaps I like the clarity and the distinctions because of my engineering background. Or perhaps I'm just not the sharpest guy on the block. But I like those clear distinctions. I like it when the Lord makes things so cut and dry, black and white for you and me, that there's no doubt in our mind what he's trying to communicate to us. I especially like how he makes clear life and death in his word, specifically here in Luke 24, the stark contrast between the living and the dead. The woman that came to the tomb, excuse me, the women that came to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body clearly expected him to still be there. They knew he was going to die. Perhaps they were familiar with the prophecies related to the Messiah, Isaiah 52 and 53. Made it really clear that the Messiah would not only be wounded for our transgressions, but he would also be judged, and he'd also be cut off from the land of the living. Perhaps they were familiar with that, so it's not unusual that they knew he was going to die, and perhaps they expected him still to be there in that tomb where they saw him placed. Even Jesus told his disciples that he was going to die. In Luke chapter 9, verse 44, he told them clearly, let these words sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. Just prior to that, Luke 9, verse 22, he told his disciples once again, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and be killed." The fact that Jesus was to die was very clear. It wasn't unusual that they expected him to die, but it was unusual that they showed up on that morning. Jesus had also reminded them in that same verse, verse 22, that at the very end of that verse, "I will be raised up on the third day." So they were reminded by the heavenly hosts that were there, that he had indeed risen. Jesus told them, "I'm going to die, but I will live again. I will be cut off from the land of the living." He couldn't have made it any more clearer than that. "But I will overcome death." So when the women did arrive at the tomb, of course, they discovered that the tomb was empty, just as Jesus said it would be. And the Lord was gracious, was very gracious to have heavenly messengers there to remind them that Jesus had in fact risen. He is alive. He is alive, and he has ascended to be with the Father. And their question for the woman, therefore, was, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek life among death?" The fact that he is alive, the fact that the Lord Jesus is alive, overcoming sin and death, is the key to the Christian faith. If he was still in his tomb, if he was still sealed up in that tomb in Galilee, we would have no hope. At best, we would have a dead hope. We would be dead in our sins, without a Savior, and we would be eternally separated from the Heavenly Father that so desires to have a relationship with us. The Apostle Paul wrote regarding the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. Speaking of the resurrection, he said, "If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, and whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, our faith is futile. We are still in our sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." What a stark contrast for me. Paul makes it clear, if Christ isn't risen, we are to be pitied above all else. Christ died and he rose again, so that when we place our trust in him, we can have a life of victory right now on planet Earth. That is an awesome truth. And that seems like it would have been enough. Would have been enough for me. Lord, I'm just thankful to be forgiven. Thankful that I have the opportunity to overcome sin on this side of glory. That's an awesome gift in and of itself. But the Apostle Paul tells us by the Holy Spirit that if this is all we have, as awesome as it is, if this is all we have, then we are to be pitied, because the plan of God does not stop there for us. God's plan for us is so far beyond that. A life of victory right now is awesome. I think we can all agree to that. But it pales in comparison to the eternal victory that he offers us. He is indeed risen. A life of victory now only would be great, but it pales in comparison to what he has to offer. And he so much has a desire and a passion for each of us to have that. Tremendous passion infinite love beyond our comprehension. That's His desire. Paul went on in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21, and said, "For since by man, speaking of Adam, came death, by man, speaking of the Lord Jesus, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Talk about a hope. For the Christian, Christ's resurrection is also our resurrection. That's what He's proclaiming to us today and has been proclaiming to us since the beginning. God sent His Son to pay the price for our sins. That would have been enough. That would have been an awesome enough gift, but it didn't stop there. Because He does not desire for us to spend eternity in the grave. He does not desire that we spend a moment away from Him. On the contrary, it's His desire that we spend eternity and now in a close personal relationship with Him. For you and me. For you and me. You and I know you and me, don't we? And we imagine that unfathomable love. And it's beyond anything we can compare it to. But that's His desire. He's reserved a place in heaven for those that have placed their faith in Him. So that wall of separation between us and Him could be destroyed. Could be absolutely destroyed. The only way we could possibly have that place in heaven reserved for us is if death had been overcome. Death had to be conquered. And death was conquered. Death was conquered, as we see here in Luke 24, when Jesus rose again. That is why on this morning, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we gather here. We gather in churches around this community and around the world, freshly reflecting on the price that He paid. But also reflecting on the life that He's so willing to give. And you know, it's a once a year celebration on the calendar, but really for the believer in the Lord Jesus, it is a daily celebration, a constant reflection of, I am who I am, not just on Resurrection Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the rest of the week. A believer is who he or she is by God's grace. So it's a daily celebration for us, a daily rejoicing of not only who He is, but who we are in Him. And I am in absolute awe at the incredible love that He has for us. I'm in awe at the love that He has for me, because I know me pretty well. I know what I've been forgiven. I know what I'm still forgiven by His grace. And I'm blown away by the grace that He extends. For Him, He looks down at us and He just sees us as creation that He desires to draw near to us. You might think, well, I've been places and I've done things. It doesn't matter to Him. It does not matter to Him. His desire is for a submitted heart to come before Him. Regardless of race, creed, color, background, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, His desire and His plan for us is the same. That's why we celebrate. Not just the forgiveness, but the place reserved in heaven for us by His resurrection. As we look around the room, excuse me. As we look around the room and we see believers, we see Christians that have been walking with the Lord for years. And as we see them, we see an absolute miracle of a changed life right here in the room with us. Lives who have very simply said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm broken. And I desperately need to be fixed." And for these lives, He's come into their lives. Just for the asking, He's come into their lives, forgiven them, reserved a place for them with Him in eternity. And I praise God for those changed lives around me. But I know I never have to look any further than my own life to see a miracle or to see a changed life. Because I know what He's done in me and I know what He continues to do in me. No one, there's no political system, there's no world religion, there's no ism, there's no anything that can tell me that my Savior doesn't live. Nobody can tell me that Jesus was just a good man. No one can tell me that He was merely a prophet. Nobody can deny me my Savior and the life that He has given me, because I know personally the power of His love. I know personally the power that He has to forgive. I know personally the power He has to give life, because I experience it every day. I know personally His power to uphold and encourage. I know His power to wipe away every tear. Not only does He have the power to do it, He has the passion to do it. Does it mean a perfect life for me? Absolutely not. But it means perfect hope. It means perfect hope in every circumstance. And we don't have to look too far in the world around us to realize that it is spinning out of control. And I don't know how people do it apart from the Lord. I really don't. Just that peace, that calm that comes in spite of the circumstances that He desires to give is beyond compare, beyond comprehension. We can know Him by experience through that living hope. And it's the same living hope that He desires for every one of us sitting here right now. Every one of us. He desires it so much that He sent His Son to bear the burden for our sins on the cross. And then breathe afresh of new life into Him so that we too can have a fresh breath of life breathed into us. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." As I look at these verses, I see three incredible things that the Lord does for those that place their faith in Him. The first thing that we read, one of the first things that we read that Peter wrote about is that we are kept by the power of God. Okay, is there any other power we want to lean on planet Earth? No way. We're kept. We're preserved by Him. We're secure in our salvation. Doesn't matter what's going on in the rest of the world. Doesn't matter. We can be so anchored to Him, so secure in who we are. The Holy Spirit reminds us through Peter that we are anchored, kept by Him. The other amazing thing is that we're given an inheritance in heaven. An inheritance that's incorruptible, does not fade away, does not depreciate, but is rock solid. Can you think of another investment in the world that we're that secure in? And this investment, the investment we have in the Lord Jesus, you don't have to put on your 1040 tax return next month. It's a free gift. A sure salvation. A sure inheritance. As if it's already happened. As if it's already happened. The third thing that I see that Peter mentions here, is that we're offered a living hope right now. Today. For this day. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some of you might be sitting here today. With a broken life. Maybe even a broken heart. And you may well be thinking to yourself, I need that living hope right now because I am at my greatest point of need. Maybe you or a loved one are experiencing serious health problems and your world is just being shaken like crazy. Maybe you're having difficulties in your marriage. You think, I don't know how I'm going to... How are we going to make this thing better? Parents, maybe you're having problems with your relationship with your children. Children, maybe you're having problems with your relationship with your folks. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's school. Could be a list of other things I haven't even mentioned, but maybe your foundations are just being shaken. And you're saying, I need that living hope now. I need to experience that power in my life right now. The Lord Jesus can and will give it to you. In the Gospel of John, chapter 16, Jesus was explaining to the disciples that he was going to be leaving them. Not only was he going to be leaving, but he was expressing to them that he was going to die. He was going to be betrayed, an awful enough thought. But he was going to die a horrible death. And as you can imagine, tremendous sorrow filled the hearts of the disciples. They had come to know Jesus personally. They'd spent a beautiful 3 years with him in his ministry. But now in the fulfillment of the Father's plan, Jesus was going to die. And Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 16, because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus was speaking of the Holy Spirit and expressing to the disciples and to us, I must return. I must be raised again from the dead. I must return to the Father so that the Helper, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God could be sent to you and me. In John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. A living hope that he offers us. And he tells us that when we place our faith in him for the forgiveness of sins, that the very Spirit of God instantly comes into our lives. Why would he want to do that for us, for you and me? He wants to send us his Holy Spirit to empower us to be witnesses for him, to be messengers of hope in this world where there's so little. He wants to empower us to live a life that pleases him. So he sends his Spirit, a Counselor, a Helper. Can't do it on our own. But he also sends his Spirit to comfort us in our time of need, in our time of pain, in our time of heartbreak. Our hope is a future hope, to be sure. But it's also a living and vibrant hope right now. In the present, the Lord does not adopt us as his children and leave us to fend for ourselves. When you think about that, an adoptive parent, imagine adopting a child and then abandoning them. It's incomprehensible. Our Heavenly Father won't do it either. He won't do it either. He loves us too much to leave us where we're at, and he loves us too much to tell us to go handle things on our own. He doesn't do that. That's not his desire. He wants us to lean on him. We can lean on him. We can trust him by his Spirit. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we celebrate today, by the power of His Holy Spirit. This free gift of eternal life and forgiveness of sins is available to every man, woman, and child who will receive it. Hope for today, to be sure. Hope for tomorrow. It's as sure as if tomorrow's already here. Hope for the future. Hope for the future as if it's already happened. Jesus said again in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Physically, should the Lord tarry, these bodies of ours will one day wear out. One day we'll breathe our last. But the Bible tells us that those that believe in the Lord Jesus, when they die, they'll be ushered into the presence of the Lord. For the believer, to die isn't the end, but we'll live forever with Him. Those that have not believed in the Lord Jesus, those that have not received His inheritance, at their death will be forever separated from God. And there will never be another chance again to remove that wall of separation. The Lord's given us eyes to see His Word. He's given us a mind to think. He's given us His Holy Spirit to convict us and to guide us, to give us structure in our lives. He's brought us into this room right here to speak to our hearts today regarding these things. In light of all of this, as I see it, I think, why would anyone not want to receive Him? Why would anyone not believe in Him? And the more important question, why would anybody choose death over life? It's an interesting question to ponder, isn't it? For each of us here. For the world. On that morning, and here in Luke 24, the morning that Jesus was risen, on that morning, the women were asked a question by the angels. And they asked the women, why do you seek the living among the dead? In essence, they were communicating, these tombs are filled with death. They're filled with dry bones. They're filled with the stench of decaying flesh. But the one that you seek, the one that you seek isn't here. The one that you seek is risen. Do you see the contrast that the Lord makes for us in His Word and specifically here in Luke 24? Clear contrast between life and death. And I very much sense that He desires to ask us this very same question today. Why are you searching for life among the things that are dead? And the world looks everywhere for life, don't they? The Bible tells us, the Word of God tells us that there's only one place to find it. As human beings, it is very easy to become misguided into believing that the sum total of life is in relationship with a girl, relationship with a boy, relationships in general. That's what makes me happy. That's where my life is really found. It's easy for us to think that the sum total of life is in material things. The next car, the next house, the next electronic gadget. There's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. But if they are trying to take a place that only belongs to the Lord, then there's a problem there. Maybe we're trying to find the sum total of life or peace or joy in the next trendy fashion, whatever that may be. The list could go on and on and on. We get it pushed into our minds every day by the world that we live in. The next popular brand of cigarettes, the next popular brand of alcohol, which I recommend neither, by the way. But we live in a world that wants to make us so unhappy and uncomfortable with our lives that they say, hey, you know what? But I've got the thing, whatever that may be. And that's not what the Bible declares. Can life truly be found in any of these things? No. And I don't think anybody would answer yes to that question. But you know what? Sometimes we act as if life does mean the accumulation of these things. Sometimes we do. And then what? At the end of the day, when we lay our head down on the pillow, there's still this empty place in our lives and in our hearts that only the Lord can fill. We try to fill it with everything else, but we can't. He wants to fill it. He's passionate about filling that place in our lives. And He sent His Son so that that might be filled when we trust Him. The things of the world can't do it because they carry with them the stench of death. But Jesus freely offers life because He overcame sin and death by His crucifixion and by His resurrection. And He has the power to give it to those who ask. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." It is a beautiful day to celebrate the truth of this living hope that He offers us. And it truly is an everyday celebration for the believer, for the Christian, who have been filled with the Spirit and are living the life that they were created to live. They're doing what they were created to do, and that is commune with God. And there's no better life. That's what we were created for, and nothing else. If you're here today and you're a believer, you have a reason to rejoice. And the Lord's given us some fresh perspective on His plans, His desire, the peace that He wants to bring, the power that He wants to bring into our lives. We can rejoice. If you're here today and you've never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you've never asked Him to forgive your sins before. Maybe you say, my life is less than victorious. I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to surrender to God. In a moment, we're going to be praying, and you'll have an opportunity to do that. It's yours for the asking. It's just communication with Him. Lord, You offer that. I really want that. I need that. He'll give that to you today. And you'll have opportunity to pray and invite Him into your life. His power and His love is far greater, far better than anything we could ever imagine. Through simple prayer. Prayer is just communicating with God. Through simple prayer, we can ask Him, Lord, give me that gift. Give me that power. I need it. One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus told us about in His Word is the ministry of convicting us of our sins, reminding us of everything that He taught, and leading us into all righteousness. Maybe you're here today and you don't know anything about Christianity. You just kind of, somebody invited you. Or maybe you just kind of decided you wanted to visit and come in. That's awesome. The Lord brought you here today to speak to your heart. He brought you here by His Holy Spirit. It's no mistake that you're here today. You were guided, you were directed, and perhaps He's speaking to your heart today and desires for you to make that commitment to Him. It's not a commitment to me. It's not a commitment to this building. It's a commitment to Him. One-on-one between you and Him. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful for Your Word that we can gather together, be reminded of how great You are. Particularly, Father, on this day, it's a blessing for us to be able to come together, recognize and observe, to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through that resurrection, so much is offered to us. So much is offered to us, Lord, and we're so thankful. Grateful that You loved us enough to give Your life. Not only to forgive us of our sins, but to reserve a place in heaven for us. We thank You, Lord Jesus. If you're here today and the Lord Jesus is speaking to your heart, something that the Holy Spirit has shown you, has spoken to your heart, and you'd like to receive Him today, I'd ask you just to stand where you're at. Stand, you're ready to pray to receive Him today. I'd love to lead you in prayer and then pray for